I just want to give you a thought. And I know you say that. Don't anybody dare ever say that I preach long. Because we gave him maximum amount of time. I think there was a time we turned him over to at 7:16 one night, and it was 8:40. That is exactly an hour and a half almost. Cody seems to think I'm the longest preacher he's ever endured. But as long as you're putting meat on the table. Yeah. Amen. What was that place? Was it the church gave us a gift card or somebody in the church? Brazilian Steakhouse? Yeah. Huh? Was that you and Miss Patty? Yeah. Was it the church? You did Blue Lagoon or something like that, right? Blue Canyon. Same difference. Amen. And that Brazilian Steakhouse, they just keep coming by, man. They put that skewer on the table and just, as much as you want to eat, as long as you put meat on the table, I'm there. Amen. You stop putting meat on the table and I'm falling asleep. My hiney starts hurting. My hip starts aching, man. So let me put a little Slim Jim on the plate and then we'll go to the house, all right? I want to read a passage of Scripture, give you the title, give you the three thoughts. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Paul said, much like Brother Baldwin, wherefore? I tell you what, if he would have started using beloved and all that kind of stuff from that, it would have gotten spooky. Amen. Paul said to the church at Philippi, wherefore, my beloved, what a term of endearment. As ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Again, that's not to be saved. That's once you are saved. It's yours to work out. You have to work it out. You need to study the Bible. You need to figure out what the Bible says about certain things. And find you a fellowship of believers that is in line with that. Marry somebody that's in line with that. Amen. And just work it out. Make sure that you are a work of God's grace and all those areas that He wants to. And you're able to work it out. Why? Because He indwells you with the Holy Spirit of God. He said, work out your own salvation. Don't be working out. It didn't say work out everybody else's. I'll tell you what, so-and-so needed that message, didn't they? And I, as a pastor, I feel that way. Listen, as a shepherd, like I've said about Frank Payne, Frank knew how much grain. He'd give them an extra scoop of grain, or there'd be other stuff to add. He knew what that cow needed, and I appreciated that, and a shepherd does. But I still have to realize that. I say this to Libby sometimes. She'll get frustrated. Well, you're the pastor. And I said, yeah, God can't control people, neither can I. And if I tried to, I'd be stealing God's glory. Be robbing God of His glory. It's God that worketh in you both to will and do of His good pleasure. Work out. You know, we can help each other. And we should. You know, Brother O'Malley said, if you got meat stuck in your teeth. If I got meat stuck in my teeth, help me. You know, if I got one of them nose hairs or ear. You know, you get old. What is it about getting old? They have to ask you at the barbershop. You want me to trim your eyebrows? It happened. Is anybody else upset, Matt? Has that happened to you yet? Oh, you're one of those metro guys that just all that. Dan, and they and I, you know, and I'm thinking, wow, I don't want to have them eyebrows out to here. You know what I'm saying? You could braid ear hair. You know, you've met them before. You've seen them. It's yours to work out, but allow somebody else to put some input in there. Iron sharpeneth iron. So a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. For it is God, verse 13, which worketh in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Now, that's interesting that he puts that right after. He's telling you, hey, work out your own salvation. But listen, you don't need to do it yourself. It's God that worketh in you both to will. It's His will and His good pleasure to do that. He wants to see us succeed. One thing I've always appreciated about Brother Miller, Brother Miller, that's still in my crawl from Wednesday night, brother, or whatever night that was, Sunday night last week. Brother, what's his name? He just was here. Shoo. Brother O'Malley, if you can't, have you ever sat under a preacher and you can tell whether he cares about what he's saying to you or not? He means that. And he says that. And you sit there and say, and it's even more so that you want to hear that. And you want to do that. And so here it is. Paul's telling him, listen, work out your own salvation. He doesn't leave him hanging. For it's God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good. God's going to help you with that. You've got to listen to him. And I heard so many things this week. And I'm sitting there saying, God, those are things you want to do in my life. Those are things you want to accomplish in my life, and it's your good pleasure to do them. I have to surrender to you so they can be done. Verse 14. It's no coincidence that these one verse after another and how they match up with one another. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life. That's why we hold up the Bible. It's not some kind of ritual we're doing. We recognize that we have the word of God, the word of life, that can sustain us and help us and strengthen us in everything. He says, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I've not run in vain, neither labored in vain. He said that investment. Man, I couldn't figure out the word. Paul's sitting there saying, I've invested in you. I don't want to know that I've run in vain. He says, he's leaving apparently. He's going to be absent from them. And now he's telling them all these things that they need to work it out. God's going to help you. This, that, and the other thing. Corinth wasn't the only church that struggled with having somebody, I'm of Paul and I'm of Cephas and I'm of this. The whole point of the Ephesians 4 evangelist, pastor, teacher, right? Evangelist, pastor, teacher, is for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. So you can do that. You know you can do that on your own. And Paul's telling them, in my absence, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain, is my investment in you. Time is an investment. As a pastor, as a Sunday school teacher, as, you know, Sienna is an investment sitting there with Declan. That's an investment. You're investing in his life. He might have memories of that down the road, Miley. Charity. Remember that person? I used to sit on so-and-so's lap in church. And Sienna, because of that investment, you can circle back around with Declan if, and we pray that it doesn't happen, that he shot out. You can walk up to him with a kind word, bearing his burden and saying, what happened, Declan? And I remember when you were, I used to hold you on my lap in church, pray for you, wanted you to succeed. Listen, if these young people didn't want these younger ones to succeed, they'd brush them off and fiddle with their phones below the pew. Paul says that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. Father, we'd ask you to help us tonight with this simple thought. Thank you for this week. Thank you for the church. I have no complaints tonight. If there's any complaints, it's with my own life, Lord. I just want to be a better Christian. I want to be a better father. I want to be a better husband. I want to be a better papa. I want to be a better preacher. I want to be a better person. So help this passage of Scripture. May it saturate all of us and help us in the days to come, I plea. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I wrote several notes down this week just for myself. Preaching is always a thing that's going to happen, Brother Matt. Get used to it when God calls you to preach. All right? You're always preparing messages. And when you're ministering to people, they should come natural. They just will. As a pastor, as a Sunday school teacher, we got Sunday school teachers in here. You'll be sitting there listening to preaching, and you'll have a thought for somebody in your class. You'll have a thought for somebody you know, and you study the Bible, and you put that together in hopes. We believe that the Bible helps other people. And we believe discipleship and sharing the Word of God helps other people. And so I was sitting there, not necessarily thinking about my absence, and it will be. I'm not trying to be morbid. Seems like every time I get on a plane, I think, where were we one time? We were getting ready to fly back to South Africa, and we messed up. We watched Tom Cruise in whatever that movie was, Castaways. All of us got on the plane, and we're like, and there was turbulence and everything else, and we're sitting there, well, sad. And I'm not trying to be morbid, but who knows what could happen. We're not promised tomorrow. And the older I get, goodbyes or see you laters. My mom never said goodbye to me. Later on in her life, she said, see you later, kiddo. And I always appreciate that about her. And talk to you later, kiddo. And so we have in this passage of Scripture, I'm not leaving, but I am leaving. But Brother O'Malley did leave. And this is an evangelist. Brother O'Malley's an evangelist. Paul's an evangelist writing to a church that he planted. And he tells them in his absence, there's certain things that they needed to do. And there's certain things that God wanted to see happen. And he poured his life out this week. He told personal stories that, you know, he's not Mr. Personal Story. He's not. Have you ever seen him cry since he's been here? And I mean, that's just who he is. And so when he went to Banana this morning, and that he's sharing. And in his absence, Paul's absence, that is, he wanted to share a few things. And I want him as well myself on behalf of Brother O'Malley and on behalf of me. I've always set things up because I believe I'm an interim pastor. And I'm only going to be here for a short period of time, and then somebody else is going to come after me. And I was listening to preaching this morning, and what was that passage of Scripture? He says, I fear in my departure that grievous wolves. Paul was saying that in another book. I mean, he was always prepping the people to continue on in his absence. And so I want to take the series of messages that Brother O'Malley preached this week. And I was sitting there saying to myself, you know, what do I say after all that? And I want to preach on this thought, very simple. The plan going forward. You know, there's a lot of things that were said this week. I guess it's a strong word, but there's a lot of regrets I have. I wish, I said something the other day, I wish I would have been raised in a Christian home, and Miss Linda came up to me afterwards and she said, you didn't. And so don't beat yourself up over it. Because if you didn't, you wouldn't be you. And we appreciate you for being you. And I appreciate that. But, you know, there's a lot of meat that's been put on my plate today, this week. And I'm not immune from it. Brother Baldwin has said many times, pastor's in this with us. I'm in it with you. I'm trying to navigate this journey myself. And I'll say this from a military point of view, and served in two different areas of that, and in law enforcement. The devil puts a target on those in leadership, puts a target on the home, Dad. He doesn't want you to succeed. He despises the fact that you succeed. Because if you succeed, there's a good chance your family will succeed. And if you're part of a local church, it's a good chance your local church will succeed because of your success. So you have to, Dad. You have to, Mom. You have to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You have to. And Paul understood that, how difficult it must have been for him to be so attached to people and then leave them. They didn't have Facebook. I've spoken to Brother O'Malley how many times since he left? Through social media, through text messaging. Paul didn't have that. His goodbye was goodbye. His absence was his absence. It's amazing to me that he was able to write a letter, and Onesimus, I don't know the terms of his release from prison. I don't know what it was. But in his release from prison, they allowed him to take a note, and he took it back to Colossae or back to Philemon's house, where the church was. And so what's the plan? What are we going to do with all the things that he said to us? I mean, there was a lot of them. And he didn't even... You heard from him as well. You study and you have a heart for people. And there's a lot in there, isn't it, Brother Mike? It might be... Brother O'Malley even said what you say sometimes. And lastly... No, I mean, last sub-point of my main point, and so on and so forth. He never... And did you notice he's giving a portion of what he wanted to say? Because you study that stuff out. A true man of God desires to see you thrive, to see you successful. Can I say this for the incognito followers or whatever, or people that weren't here or whatever? Your pastor aches when he doesn't see you here. Because watch this. During a family conference, if you're not there, you're saying one or two things. I don't need that. I don't want that. Or I'm not going to share what I get with somebody else. How many of these football players, you see them, they hold off on going to training camp before the season starts? You know what they're saying? I'm my own person. I'm not part of the team. You get my contract where it needs to be, and then I'll participate. They forgot that they're part of a team. There's no I in team. And so your pastor aches when he doesn't see you. Because why? He wants to see your success because he studies the Scripture. Brother O'Malley poured out his heart this week. He didn't want to move on to the next one. That's why I've so recently, I shouldn't even say recently, because some studies have been going on for 3-4 years. I've been doing series for a long time. You just never have enough time to say all the things that you want to say in the portion of time that you have. And sometimes you don't get personal time with people. Some just want you to speak into their life. We see it Sunday mornings, don't we? In that short period of time, I'll take what I want and leave what I don't. And so what's the plan going forward? Simple. Three steps, three aspects, three things that I see in this passage of Scripture from verse 13. The plan going forward. Here's the plan going forward. First thing we have to do is see the person of the plan. For it is God. I will never be able to even touch the hem of His garment in how much I want to see transpire in your life. I so appreciate it when Brother O'Malley said, Ryan, you might be the next pastor of this church. And then later on he said, Michaela, you might be the next pastor's wife of this church. And I was sitting there going, what, has he already got you two matched up? I mean, is this the dating game, the matching game? But you know what I appreciated about that? He saw something. But can I say this? What he sees and what I see is nothing compared to what God sees. You have to stay close to Him. You have to stay close to Him and see what He sees. I'm very insecure. I don't know if I ever get to a place where I see value because of death and life is in the power of the tongue and they that love it shall eat the fruits thereof. You have to be careful what you say. Those are regrets. I've said things through my life I wish I could take back. Now I dedicate my life to my grandchildren in such a way where I desperately make sure I say special things. Did anybody tell you today? And the whole point I'm trying to make is that's minimal compared to what God is. What's the plan moving forward? There's a person of the plan. And the closer you stay to Him, the more He'll reveal that plan to you. You can do this. I sit there and I say, God, you see my situation. You know what's taking place here. I'm striving. I'm doing this. I'm wanting to do this. And He said, Michael, you just have to see that I have a plan. And you have to follow that plan. You have to stay close to me, Michael. You have to read Scripture. You have to stay close to me. You can't. The further you get away from me, Michael, the less I'm able to work out my plan. You have to stay close. And Paul is telling him, yeah, well, you're supposed to work out your own salvation. And there is a part of it for me. But I have to stay so close to Him that He's telling me Jeremiah is ready to give up. What's He do with Jeremiah? He gets him in a special place and he said, Jeremiah, I don't know if you realize this or not. I fashioned you in your mother's womb. While you were there, just as I did Adam, and I blew the breath of life into Adam and he was a living soul man. Says, Jeremiah, I want to do that with you. Ah, but God, you don't understand. And he allowed God to minister to him until, watch this, he wanted to quit. And then he realized even in his insecurity, God placed me here for this nation. Did anybody come? No. But did it lessen Jeremiah's impact on the nation of Israel? No. You have to show up. And you show up because it is God that worketh in you. You have to see the person of the plan. What does God want to do with Mike Baldwin? No, what does God want to do with you? I mean, the world, is it your oyster? Is that what they says? There's no telling. And the most devastating thing to me, and I can only imagine how God is, when you see God touch somebody, and you see God use somebody, and then you just see them walk away. Can I say there's people that are a member of this church that have literally just wasted your life because you won't stay close enough to God, pooch mouth and pouting all the time, instead of staying close to God and quit worrying about everybody else and working it out and seeing what God... Alicia, it's amazing to sit back and watch what God has done with you in all the circumstances. But it can go in a moment as soon as you start saying, I tell you what, I... No, it's God that worketh in you. We see the person of the plan. What's the plan going forward? You got to see the person. God has a plan for your home. No, God has a plan for your life. Stay as close as you can to Him. I mean, I fancy things that make holes. Figure that out. I fancy things that make holes at long distances. Even short distances. They just make holes. But you know, you can be just a click off at 50 feet. And that thing won't even hit paper at 100 yards. One wrong decision. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways. Not some, all. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. Where am I going to go to school? What am I going to do? What's the next thing? And listen, this, if He can't get you to church, I don't think He's talking to you in any other areas. You're just harping on that. I think we've learned how important the church is this week. What's the plan going forward? We have to see the person of the plan, for it is God. Verse 13a. Secondly, what's the plan going forward? The process of the plan. Verse 13b. What's the process of the plan? Which worketh in you. You ought to be able to stand up at any time and say, this is the areas in my life that God's working on. We've heard it in the prayer room. Jacob. He said, he said it in the prayer room, so I don't have to ask permission, right? He said, I heard some stuff this week, and it says about being burden bearers. He says, somebody else can't bear my burden unless I share my burden. And he shared his burden. And what's the process? God wants to work in you. You have to recognize the areas where He's working. Tina and I have conversations a lot of times from a distance. And she sees things. I don't know if she has sixth sense or special powers or it's just a daddy-daughter thing. And I'll tell her there's just areas. I don't mention all of them. I don't think I mention any of them. I just say there's areas in my life that God's working on. And I was driving down the road the other day and I said, God, I know there's some areas you're trying to work on. Please forgive me for being a poor student. But please make it a whole lot clearer what you're trying to get through to me. They took 40 years to get 11 days' journey. 40 years, and they just kept. It's so sad as a pastor sometimes when people can't even recognize what God's doing in their life. The person of the plan going forward is what? God. God has a plan for your life. You have to recognize, God, what is your plan? Sit down and just say, God, do you have a plan? And then open up your Bible. It's amazing sometimes. our study on the fruit of the Spirit. That's me. I need love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, kindness, so-and-so and so-and-so. There's so much of that. Well, Pastor, you seem like you got a lot of that already covered. I appreciate that. That means nothing to me. I have to divorce myself from the positive and the negative comments, and I have to ask God, God, what do you see? You only see me here. You don't see me wrestling with my patience and my kindness and my meekness and my gentleness in other areas. I have to realize that God is working on me. He's, what's that song? He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. Quit worrying about what everybody else ought to be. Just work out what you ought to be. I've told Libby many a times. Your comparison is not so-and-so. Your comparison is Christ. I'll tell you, there's a lot of people in church, they get used to it. They sit there and say, well, I'm not as bad as so-and-so. I'm a present dad. I'm a this dad. I'm a that dad. Well, wonderful. Praise the Lord for you. Now let's match you up against him. I'm telling you what, the most convicting verses of Scripture, and every man in this church ought to take note of it. Husbands, love your wives as Joe Colossa loved Miss Colossa. Husbands, love your wives as Mike Baldwin loves Emily Baldwin. No. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. And tell me what the Bible says until you start doing that. Show me that. Show me, and I do my best with it for Libby. And I'm not saying she's bad. It's just we're sinful people married to sinful people. And the only way we're going to make it is working out our own salvation. Miss Cynthia, if I can come back to this. 1 Peter says, only place in Scripture, ladies. Only place, there's no admonitions to the husbands that we can win you over to Christ by our words. But a woman, by the, what's the term, by the of her speech? Huh? By her conversation, can win her husband over. You have the ability in you, which worketh in you, to win. Now, if it doesn't happen, are you a failure? No. That's on God. Or that's on them, I mean. It's on them, they didn't hear. If I didn't get saved, was Rodney a failure? No. Was Calvin Jeffcoat a failure? No. Was other people a failure? No. It was me. They were throwing their bread on the water. The plan going forward, the person of the plan, for it is God, the process of the plan, which worketh in you. God, where are you working in my life? I don't know what it was I was doing the other day, and oh, what was that simple prayer, Tina, I shared with you, and I said, he answers those, and he doesn't answer. Oh, I know what it was. Man, God took me to the woodshed the other day. Man, I've been begging him for some things. I went out to my truck and got out there, and it was locked. Man, I kid you not. Confess your faults one to another. I balled up that fist. I was looking around. I was going to put my stinking elbow right through that windshield. I was so mad. I locked my keys in there. Nobody here. Nobody here. And I said, God, really? Honestly, God? Like, can you just add some more things? Come on, bring it on, baby. You know, where's Job's three friends? Can everybody just come sit down with me? Where's my pot shirt so I can wipe this, dig the scrapes out? Who comes walking out the Iwana door? I said, what in the world? What are you doing here? And then I had that, you know, Brother O'Malley was talking about, you ever fight on the way to church? Do you remember that thing he said? And you go, everybody, nobody fights except for the Millers, right? Was that, were you the ones he was highlighting? He highlighted somebody, didn't he? And so here I was. I wasn't fighting on the way to church. I was at church, and I was fighting me. And then I saw Joe, and, you know, I got to be a spiritual leader. He looks at me, he says, everything okay? And I left, locked my key. And I'm trying to blow it off, you know, and everything. And he just stays there. And I'm thinking, you're not solving this problem, Joe. You're distracting me from putting my elbow through the glass to get out of here before anybody sees me. And then he just says, hey, I think Angela can do that, and blah, 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 calls her up. And she's on her way there, and I'm sitting there, and I'm just still, I don't want to wait on Angela. Angela ain't going to be able to do this. She shows up, put that thing in there, first pull. I got in the truck. Man, that was a rough ride home. I said, I know you did that, God. I know Angela did it. I know Joe was part and parcel in it. But I know that was you, God. And I said to him, I said, if you can do that for me with that, you can do it with the other stuff too. And he said, I am. But I'm teaching you something right now. Patience. And then I had to listen to the sermon I preached. And he's in there. Like, I'm trying to teach you to be patient, gentle, meek. Against such there is no law. What's the plan going forward with all the messages? The person of the plan, for it is God. God's the one that wants to see. Brother O'Malley wants to see you succeed. Pastor wants to see you succeed. But there's nobody who wants to see you succeed more than God does. What's the process of the plan which worketh in you? You've got to see where he's working. I've said 1,000 times in recent years or days, I guess, I've said, I come to church, I wake up, and I'm looking for God. Just looking for him. In the midst of a very discouraging afternoon, I saw God this afternoon. You know where I saw him? 4 young ladies playing a piano, sacrificing their time for God to work in them. Michaela, there's probably a lot of people that play piano on TikTok. And they monetize their social media, Julie. And you could do that and waste your life away with a talent. Or you could say, God's working in me, and you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to share this gift, this talent he's given me with somebody else, Miss Sam. And I watched, there was just a peace in that room, wasn't there? It was just an absolute peace in the room. You have to recognize the process. You got to give him the opportunity to work. I was saying to Libby, you got to be a person. We as believers have to bring calm to a situation. And I get it, and I'm not throwing my wife under the bus. She was just nervous. She's this whole thing, and I get it. And the one person on one side of the glass, her on this side of the glass, Sam did it even. But I wasn't your husband, so I didn't say nothing to you. Sam had to be patient. Every time she kept trying to open the door, wah, 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 felt like I was on Star Trek Enterprise. Wah, wah, wah. Libby did it. Sam did it. And I said to Libby, I said, they're going to get that door open. They're going to get the door open. Just be patient. Just be patient. Wah, wah, wah. I said, believers have to bring calm to the chaos. The plan going forward with the messages, we have to see the person of the plan, for it is God. Start somewhere. Do something from something you heard this week and start there. What's the process of the plan which worketh in you? God's working in you. Find the areas. When we see that verse of Scripture, train up a child in the way that he should go, for when he's old he will not depart from it. Mom and dad are supposed to recognize where God is working in a person's life. That isn't a verse of Scripture. I drag my kids to church and sit them on a church pew. They'll not depart from it. That's not what that says. We have twisted Scripture so much. We sit back and we recognize, sir, it is no surprise to me where you're at today, Alicia, because I watched those areas where God was working and how he directed you and you yielded to it, and it's wonderful. But it can be gone in a moment. Mom and dad, watch those areas. I say that to mom and dad. God does as well. Without mom and dad, you have to see those areas where God is working in your life. That's the process. God, you're trying to shape me here. You're kind of shifting me here. Nah, I don't want it. The worst thing you can say, and I've probably said it, don't say this. That's just who I am, and people need to learn to accept it. You know what you've just said? It isn't God that worketh in you. You took control of the wheel again. You're going to sit on the throne of your life, not God. The plan going forward, the person of the plan, for it is God, the process of the plan which worketh in you, the purpose of the plan, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. both to will. God has a will. There's something He wants from you. A lot of days I just don't know what it is. I don't want to be in Ohio. I despise this season. I'm prepping for it. You already feel it, that the bones start, everything for me just starts hurting, and I don't want to be here. But that's not God's will for my life. God's will for my life is to be here. And here is that where Paul said this. Watch this. He said, where was it? Holding forth the word of life that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. I want to look back and see Joe made something of himself because he allowed God to work in his life. I want to show up one day and blowing spit bubbles and sit in the back and say, Pastor, the guy with the brushy eyebrows back there, he used to pastor here. The one where his wife has braided all of his ear hairs, he used to pastor here. And you want to see what happened, that God willed and succeeded in His good pleasure for your life. Pick a place where you see God wanting you to be and strive to get there. Work there in that area. Identify yourself. I tell the Timothy guys all the time, listen to yourself preach. It's difficult. You'll pick up on all the things. Listen to yourself play the piano. Some of y'all that sing, listen to yourself sing. Help me, Lord, it's hard on my ears. No, I'm just kidding. And say, I want to improve in that area. I always listen to my messages. You'll come in my office and I'll be playing them in the background. I want to hear, is there area? I want to refine my craft. I mean, I don't know how some of y'all stay. Jerry, you've stayed with me the whole time. I came in here guns blazing, buddy. Paint the town red. Pale rider, buddy, riding on a horse and shooting everything in sight. I'm not that person today. It was needed when I came, but I'm not that person today. What's the purpose of the plan? We're done. Both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Fast forward. Judgment seat of Christ. And we yield. Yes, we're going to fail sometimes. We're going to fail to get up that morning and put on the whole armor of God. We're going to fail to stand, but if we keep pressing forward and we keep doing what we're supposed to do and we allow preaching to change our lives and we see the plan and we say, God, I see it. It's in sight. I can accomplish that. I'm going to work on it. I'm going to do my part. I say this all the time. God and I talk and I say, God, I'm going to do my part. You do your part. And He'll say back to me, don't worry about me, big boy. I'm going to do my part. You just do your part. And part of your part is to surrender to my part. And when we both do that, it'll be okay. And it'll be good pleasure. You fast forward and all of a sudden there'll be a time we'll stand before the Lord. We succeed in that plan. There's going to be regret there. There's going to be remorse. There's not going to be repentance. Repentance is over. You don't have a change of mindset. You got the mind of Christ. It's over. That's why we ought to live our life on a day-to-day basis in light of the judgment seat of Christ. What's that look like? And I want Him to say to me, I don't want to stop running the race. I don't want to. My grandkids mean too much to me. My children mean too much to me. My wife means too much to me. My church means too much to me. And I want to hear Him say, well done. Thou good, that speaks of righteousness. There's none good, no, not one. Good in us. There is no good in us. The only good is what we allowed His righteousness to abide in it. Enter in thou good. You've been cloaked in righteousness and you've not abused it. You've not taken your liberties and done them the way you want. You've submitted. You've been righteous in my, you've been clothed in my right. When the Son came back, He put Him in a robe. That robe was given to Him by His dad. We have a robe of righteousness. We can either wear it or trample it. He said, enter in now good and what? Faithful. You just committed. Last couple years, I'm confused some days. I don't understand a lot of things. And I just sit there and I say, God, I'm going to do my part. I can't be responsible for anybody else. All I can be responsible is for me. And I'm going to be steadfast, unmovable, and always abounding in the Lord. My kids don't know how much they mean to me to keep that going. The church doesn't know how much that means to me. I know some of y'all, I see it in attendance sometimes. I'm just going to quit tonight. I don't feel like that. Some are justified, a lot aren't. You got to keep moving because I want to hear Him say it. enter in to the goodness prepared for thee, thou good and faithful servant. The only way you can hear that is for God to work in you, both to will and do of His good pleasure. We heard truth this week to transform our lives and our homes. What are you going to do with it? It can be just another message and you can move on, or it can be the start of the transformation. Father, we'd ask you to help us. I speak on behalf, I pray the whole congregation. But Lord, I come to you individually as well and say, a lot of areas of improvement in my life personally and in my home. So I'd ask you to help. Help me to recognize you in my life, working in my life, not to hurt me, not to harm me, but to help me, both to will and to do of your good pleasure. Lord, I want you to be pleased. I look at my children, I want to be pleased. And if I see that in my own, I know you see it in me. And though carnal as it sounds, Lord, I know you're cheering from the sidelines. But not only from the sidelines, Lord, you're cheering from within our very soul. Because we're indwelt by the Spirit of God. That it helps us and aids us and comes beside us. Help us to recognize that still small voice. And complete the plan that you have for us. I want to see success this year. I don't want to see ruin. Too many years I've seen somebody that says, I can't do it, it's too hard, or I don't want to do it, and shortly thereafter they leave. I pray, Lord, this year none will be lost. But we'd see what you're doing in our lives and we'd surrender to it, I plea. And Lord, if there's someone in here, young person maybe that you spoke to this week, that there was a lot of things that were said, but they were spiritually noted, and they don't have a personal relationship with you, Lord, I pray that you can't begin the process of the plan until you become their Father. And that happens, Lord, by us recognizing that we're sinners, realizing we can't save ourselves, repenting, a change of mindset, that you are the Savior and you died for our sins. And by coming to you, you'd forgive us of our sins and you'd indwell us with the Holy Spirit of God and we'd be forgiven. And you could begin the process of transformation from the inside out. If there'd be somebody like that tonight, Lord, I pray that you'd speak to them. Thank you for the week that we've had, the time that we've had tonight. Dismiss us with your grace, I plead, Lord. Help us invoke this plan in our lives. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. If God's spoken to your heart, spoken to your mind, said something to you, maybe you just want to come with your family. Maybe you want to come by yourself and say, hey, God, you got to help me. I'm going to take a step forward and I'm going to listen to the small voice. I'm going to read Scripture. And when you speak, I'm going to obey it. Maybe that's you tonight. I invite you to the altar.